Peter Griffin is a technology journalist. How hard is it to make search bars less spelling sensitive?
Well, Google does it incredibly well. So the technology is there. You can buy private search engine technology that guesses what you're putting in after a couple of letters. So really, you know, it is an investment decision. You can pay to have a very good search engine. And increasingly, that's how people are finding information via search. I think AI will have a big role in all of this. So it'll become a little bit academic, actually putting stuff into a search bar.
Hey, chat, whatever, whatever.
ChatGPT.
Find me the Paul Bing. Cleave interview on 99 last week.
Yeah? Wow. Yeah, yeah. You just ask it that and it will, yeah, it will bring it all up for you. So that search is changing dramatically and is about to in the next year.
What isn't?
Yeah.
Ah, now, let's have a look at what has happened today in Congress. We had that kind of drama and theatre a while back, didn't we, of the grilling of the FANGs bosses.
Yes.
What have they been up to today with respect to TikTok?
Well, this is quite significant. This is TikTok. TikTok is the behemoth, really, in the tech world at the moment, but very much in social media. This is Chinese-owned company, owned by a company called ByteDance. It has a big unit in the US. It has about 170 million US customers. It's very successful in the US market. It's used by, particularly by young people here, Australia, all over the world. It's in 2020, it was estimated the value of this company was $50 billion. They're talking now, because it is so successful, it's worth $250 billion. So the problem is that Congress, the House of Representatives today, have voted overwhelming two-thirds majority to force ByteDance to divest its controlling stake in TikTok or face a ban from the US market.
Goodness, that's big. Now, just to help me put this into my brain, to divest would be what? To sell it in the United States alone? To sell it to someone else?
Yeah, that's
but what
are
you selling, though?
Yeah, you're selling the... Well, first of all, you have to make sure, and they've said they've already done this, but make sure there's absolutely no connection between the Chinese division, parent company ByteDance, and the US company. Now, they said to try and stave off this, they said that there is a big war between the two companies. There have been investigations in recent months to show that it's actually more of a porous wall. Information is going between those two companies. So that's a problem. The big problem they have is who's going to buy it? Who's going to shell out potentially $250
billion? $250
billion? That's not going to happen. But and then that raises the... I mean, this has never really been done. This is precedent setting outside of sort of security and military sort of technology that a tech company like this would be told you cannot operate in the US
so
market.
This is what I can never understand now with the way our technology just crosses borders and jurisdictions. Surely the same technology that enables one to use TikTok in China is the same in the United States. I mean, it's the same platform.
It is.
So how do you physically carve up a platform?
Well, what you would do is you would say... And this is sort of what TikTok in America is doing. The servers in Silicon Valley that run TikTok, they cannot be accessed by, for instance, the Chinese version of TikTok.
So the content can be, though,
yeah,
because it's public.
Well, it's the Great Firewall strips out a lot of that
well,
in terms
true.
Of them accessing
it. It's ironic,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The one people who can put the blocks up, if anybody, is China. But the content will still be visible throughout most of the world.
Yes.
But the data that's being collected on the user is supposed to be ring-fenced.
Yeah, and the sensitivity around that is every Chinese tech company, you know, Baidu, Tencent, there's some great, you know, huge tech companies over there. They're all subject to Chinese law, which says that technically the government, without a warrant, can come in and demand access to data about the users that are on your platform. So that's been
Does
a big concern.
Does the US, for that matter? Because, again, we've got issues with police and military potentially having an interest in social media platforms.
Well, we went through all of this about a decade ago when, yes, they can with a warrant.
With a warrant.
But we found through Edward Snowden's leaks that they were tapping pretty much everything. So I think it's a fair assumption that some form of that is still going on behind the scenes.
It's one of the reasons that Meta argues it wants to go to full encryption.
Full encryption, yeah.
So that's hands
washed their hands off that, yeah. Now, look, there have been the FBI, all sorts of security bodies have been saying this is an actual real risk for democracy if all of that data is going back to China, is accessible by the Chinese Communist Party, they can use it to profile Americans and then target ad campaigns and misinformation campaigns at them. So that is the premise of it. And it does have bipartisan support, including from the president. So Biden has said if this passes in the Senate as well, and it will probably have a bit more of a difficult time there, but it could well do, he will sign off on it.
So next question is, if they can't sell it because no one's got a spare $250 bill that they want it, the idea of a ban, how would that happen? Again, when there's sort of a borderless kind of world. If you buy your TikTok app in the United States, would the ability to do that disappear? And would your app that you've already got on your phone disappear?
The app wouldn't necessarily disappear on your phone, but that would be the end of any upgrades. This is sort of what happened with Huawei when they banned Huawei from using Google apps. So I had a Huawei phone, and for a long time the Google apps were still on the phone, but over time they started to break, and that's probably what will happen here. TikTok can be used on the web as well, so the US government could, I suppose, block its IP addresses and that sort of thing if it gets to that point. What I think is more likely is they will completely divest it, and they do have some American shareholders. It's not fully owned by ByteDance in America. It has a controlling stake, so it'll get its existing shareholders in the US to step up and basically take over the company. But they'll hate this because it's the most successful tech company at the moment, and they will have to take a bath on this financially.
What's interesting about this is the too big to fail argument, or the too big to regulate argument, because it is huge, TikTok. Mm. And if the United States Congress is prepared to move on it and make this happen, you come back then to the arguments we're having with the likes of Facebook or Meta and others.
Yes.
You know, the pay for news argument.
Yes.
And they go, oh, fine, we just won't provide in your country.
Yeah.
Or they'll do what they're doing now, which is just downgrading news and the algorithms anyway. But that threat, no, you can't regulate because there'll be a revolution in your country if they can't use Facebook. That's testing that kind of premise, isn't
it? Yeah. And in some ways it's refreshing that
it's very refreshing. Congress, do anything.
They've done nothing on big tech for so long. And unfortunately this is, I wouldn't say necessarily xenophobic, but there's deeper things going on here. This is about the geopolitical situation. There are other things. For instance, a couple of months ago the FBI came out about the so-called Vault Typhoon, which is Chinese hackers have been putting payloads of malware in critical infrastructure providers in the US. So think about things like electricity companies, water, sanitation providers. There are little payloads, allegedly from Chinese-sponsored hackers, sitting in these systems in case there is conflict between the US and China, and they will activate those, turn off the power supply. So there are other things in the background that the US is very angry about against China over, and so this is all tied up in that, putting pressure on China over some of the other things it's doing. This is a lever it can pull.
It's a mad world, isn't it? Like, you know.
But it could backfire for Biden because young people are on TikTok.
That's my point. That's my point about it being too popular to fail or too popular to regulate.
Yeah.
So
it does set a precedent, as a lot of the libertarian sort of Republicans have been saying, well, what are you going to do? You're going to, any international company you don't like being in the US, you're just going to force them to sell?
That said, the security arguments, and you just touched on it, are becoming a major.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we've discussed previously, I just look at our banking system and wait for the day the bank says, sorry, we've got no idea how much money we've got with us. However, we do know how much your mortgage is. You know, these are things that, I don't know if you saw that recent movie, you know, out of the States, that's premised on internal combustion rather than bothering to invade anymore.
Yes.
You know, suddenly no lights work, no traffic work, no phone works. It'll be the end of most of us.
Yeah.
And it's not now just some kind of dystopian musings from some mid-20th century writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really viable, scenario.
Yeah.
And if security and intelligence agencies and everyone else, whether they're in commercial areas or in state areas, aren't weighing this up. We probably have got a catastrophe building.
Yeah, and look, we have in New Zealand, when it comes to TikTok, it's not like a cyber security threat, but is considered a threat to democracy to the extent that they have banned it from parliamentary services issued devices here. Some politicians are still using it. What I would envisage, if and when TikTok divests and is bought by someone else, all of TikTok users in New Zealand will be served from that US operation.
Right.
If they aren't
so
already now.
So it would impact here, actually, if this happens.
Yeah, it would. It would basically mean that everywhere outside of China. China has its own version of TikTok called Douyin, which is another ByteDance company, has 750 million users. Yeah. But we obviously have nothing to do with that if we're on TikTok here. But essentially, for any country outside of China, it'll run like any other big tech company, it'll be run out of North America.
Such interesting times. And, you know, that is a first for Congress to actually look like a bipartisan move is imminent on any of these companies. As you say, interesting that it's a Chinese company that's actually targeted. Meanwhile, speaking of too big to regulate, where is Google at with publishers in Australia? Who was it who just said no thanks to renewing the deal? Meta.
Yeah.
Is Google continuing to do deals with the media publishers?
Well, they haven't said anything publicly, but there's a lot of sort of leaks coming out of the Australian market that Google is in the process of renegotiating up to 5-year deals with publishers over there, which is, I think, a big sigh of relief for media companies, because obviously, literally the day after the News Hub announcement that they're shutting down News Hub, Meta said in Australia, we're not going to renegotiate these deals. So that's potentially hundreds of millions of dollars that will not flow to Australian media companies. We have Google saying, or looking as though they are renegotiating. And I think this is the split between Meta and Google, and frankly Microsoft as well, who have negotiated deals in the past. Those two companies actually need news a lot more than Meta does, because they are search engine providers. And it's why Google News exists, because they realize that a lot of people are searching for news. That's an incredibly valuable product. So while Mark Zuckerberg might say, news isn't important to us, that's why we're going to, as you say, downscale it in the algorithms and remove the news tab and have less news in your news feed. The other two, it's harder for them to do that. So they're sort of playing nicely, which I think gives a lot of confidence to the discussions here about what do we do about this gap in funding for media here.
The problem is how quickly.
It's not going to happen quickly, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, okay.
Melissa Lee has slightly warmed, this is the broadcasting minister, slightly warmed to the idea of having some sort of levy or something like that, but in what time frame, when you have this massive funding gap right now for some of these companies?
Well, when you have the results they're producing and the decisions their owners are making.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is on your mind today?
Well, sort of the other big news story this week, really, which has just broken, is about a guy called Don Lemon, who some people, if you watch Sky TV on the CNN channel, you'll have seen him over recent years on CNN, one of their top anchors. He was actually booted from CNN last April over some of the inappropriate remarks he was supposed to have made on air, and some allegedly misogynistic sort of comments he made
privately. He was huge during the first Trump Trump versus Clinton?
Clinton,
campaign,
that's right, yeah.
When we had this enormous polarisation happening in Fox News versus CNN.
Yes.
He became one of their really central anchors then, with a heavily opinionated editorial stance.
That's right.
But that was the world we were in
at the time. And so he got booted, and like a number of people, including Tucker Carlson, who was also booted from Fox News over his...
Bill O'Reilly was also booted.
Over inappropriate
and
things.
And Chris Cuomo was the other one.
Yes, that's right, from CNN.
From CNN.
Yeah, so all these people who had a big following have been jettisoned from their networks where they had millions of viewers and are going, what is life after this? And it turns out building your own media platform on platforms like X is the answer. So we've seen Tucker Carlson do that, and supposedly quite successfully. He's estimated to be bringing in $15 million in ad revenue just by putting his videos on X. So Don Lemon was looking at that going, I'm going to do the same thing. He actually did a deal with Elon Musk to launch his own show on X. But then he went and did an interview with Elon Musk, maybe thinking I'll cozy up a little bit to my new boss, essentially. It did not go well. We haven't seen the video yet. Don Lemon said
he
will be.
Did he actually ask some proper questions?
He did. It turns out he was just being a proper journalist, which Elon Musk didn't like. So the deal is off. The show is, I guess you can still put his videos on there. Elon Musk is not banning him from the platform, but that partnership that they had forged is no longer going ahead. And Lemon has sort of tweeted the whole thing in the last couple of days and said he'll carry on other platforms with the show. But he said his questions were respectful and wide-ranging, covering everything from SpaceX to the presidential election, but that Musk took offence to it. And I think that sort of shows, a lot of people have been saying to me over the last couple of weeks, well, the future of the media really is the Tucker Carlson model. Just go and build your own platform on these places where the audience is. And I think this is the reason why that doesn't work. You're at the whim of a billionaire who owns that platform, and if he doesn't like you, he's going to boot you off.
Except he hasn't booted him off.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't booted him off. He just hasn't done the deal, and that is his, that is his right to do. I guess that's the difference between actually saying you're off the platform and saying, actually, I don't want to do this financial deal with you anymore.
And I guess the difference,
it does get a bit closer to being, you know, how the these platform owners say, oh no, we're not publishers.
That's right.
We're not editors. But still.
So doing that deal would have meant a lot, potentially money going into the show, support in the form of advertising and algorithmic support from Twitter. So quite meaningful support that has been extended to Tucker Carlson because he's politically aligned.
And you know what? It just gets you closer and closer to saying, of course you're a damn publisher.
Yeah.
You know, how is this different from owning a cable TV network and hiring a guy to do a show
exactly.
and paying him for it? On the other question of the advertising, how does it work? So if you have a very popular product, presumably you are seen as valuable to advertisers, mm-hmm. but do the advertisers pay the platform and then the platform does the deal with you because your content is popular?
There's two versions of it. What Tucker Carlson has been doing with his own media company, his team has been going out and striking advertising deals
directly,
and some of them $1 or $2 million deals, so mm-hmm. these are big deals. Those ads then feature within the videos that he is producing. X also can show ads alongside Tucker Carlson's programming, and he gets a share of that as well.
So there's two bites at the cherry.
Yeah. And it seems to be working quite well for someone like a Tucker Carlson, based on the viewership that he's getting. As I said, maybe $12 to $15 million in revenue per year. That's not bad money. He was earning $20 million at Fox News, so it's a bit of a pay cut, but still.
You know, $20 million. I suppose you could overspend it.
Yeah.
Well, you go and buy a $250 billion platform yourself.
Which is a bit off that. Trump sort of did with Truth Social.
He did, didn't he? Well, he started one, didn't he? Hey, thanks. Always a pleasure. Peter Griffin.